ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 22 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड बलि महाराज सरेंडर्स हिज लाइफ टेक्स्ट नंबर 17। यया हि विद्वान् अपि मुह्यते यत तत्को विचष्टे गतिमात्मनो यता। तस्मै नमस्ते जगदीश्वराय वै नारायणाया किल लोकसाक्षिणे। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Material opulence is so bewildering that it makes even a learned, self-controlled man forget to search for the goal of self-realization. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan, the Lord of the universe, can see everything by His will. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. Purport: The words "ko vicheshte gatim atmano yata" indicate that when one is puffed up by the false prestige of possessing material opulence, he certainly neglects the goal of self-realization. This is the position of the modern world. Because of so-called scientific improvements in material opulence, people have entirely given up the path of self-realization. Practically, no one is interested in God, one's relationship with God, or how one should act. Modern men have altogether forgotten such questions because they are mad for material possessions. If this kind of civilization continues, the time will soon come when the Supreme Personality of Godhead will take away all the material opulences. Then people will come to their senses. We like to seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees before attempting to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the senior devotees, Madan Gopal Ru, Var Gopal Ru, and others. So today we are reading from the 8th canto, chapter 22, entitled Bali Maharaj Surrenders His Life. So in this section, after Bali Maharaj promised to Vamanadev that he would give 3 steps of land, we see that Vamanadev, with his 2 steps, he covered the entire universe. And then when he asked Bali Maharaj for the 3rd step, then Bali Maharaj offers his own self. So at that time, Prahlad Maharaj actually arrives in that assembly. In fact, in the previous verses, Vamanadeva was, first of all, was trying to say Bali Maharaj that how you promised to give charity, but you did not give, you are not giving the 3rd step. So when he was speaking in a chastising tone, then Bali Maharaj offers his 3rd step as his own self. So in this juncture, Prahlad Maharaj arrives, and Prahlad Maharaj says, in fact, in the previous verse, Prahlad Maharaj said that, "My dear Lord, it is your lordship who gave this Bali the very great opulence of the post of heavenly king. And now today, it is you who have taken it all away. I think you have acted with equal beauty in both ways, because his exalted position as king of heaven was putting him in the darkness of ignorance." And then in today's verse, Prahlad Maharaj is saying that how the material opulence is so bewildering that when Bali Maharaj became the king of heaven, he got so much of material opulence that he was bewildered by that. Then now Prahlad Maharaj is saying that you have appeared mercifully and taken away all the material opulence. And in this way you have completely humbled Bali Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj is glorifying Vamanadeva for taking away the wealth of Bali Maharaj. So in this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada says that when a person actually possesses material opulence, that although a person may be very much learned and self-controlled, still the material opulence can completely bewilder a person and make him enjoy sense gratification. And in this way, one may neglect the goal of human form of life, which is self-realization. So Queen Kunti says, in the first canto, she says that, Janmaishwarya Shruta Shribir, Yedamana Madappuman. She says that when a person becomes proud of his high birth or high education or his wealth or his beauty, then such a person cannot take shelter of the Supreme Lord with great feeling. So the name of the Lord is so powerful, but in order to have the full benefit of chanting the holy names, one has to chant with great feeling. But when a person is proud of one's piety in the form of Janma, Aishwarya, Ashruta, Ashri, then one cannot take shelter of the Lord with great feeling. In fact, out of these four things, that is high birth, high education, beauty and wealth, it is said the intoxication caused by wealth is greater than the other three. So this is explained by Narada Muni in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. When Narada Muni was going in the Kailash Parvat, so in the Kailash Hill, the sons of Kuvera named Nalakuvera and Manigriv, they were actually enjoying nakedly with other women in the Mandakini Ganga. So Nalakuvera and Manigriv, they had high birth. They were sons of Kuvera and they were associates of Lord Shiva. And not only, they had a very beautiful body and they were very rich. But because of their wealth, so they became so proud of their wealth, they were enjoying with women in the Mandakini Ganga, which is a very auspicious place. Ganges is basically non-different from the water which has washed the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So at that time, Narada Muni arrives. So it's explained, Narada Muni is actually addressed by the word Bhagavan. Why Narada Muni is addressed as Bhagavan? Because it's explained that Bhagavan, one who remains a person of Bhagavan is also called as Bhagavan. So Narada Muni is not the Supreme Lord, but Narada Muni, whenever he meets another person, he would remain that person of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is why he is called as Bhagavan. So as soon as Narada Muni arrived at that place, so the women with whom Nalakvir and Manigri were enjoying, they covered their bodies and then they went away. But then Nalakvir and Manigri, they completely neglected Narada Muni, but they continue to remain naked in the Mandakini Ganga. So that time Narada Muni says, Nahyanyo Jushato Joshyan Buddhi Brahmsho Rajoguna Shri Madad Abhijatyadir Yatrash Sri Dyuta Masava. Narada Muni said, out of all kinds of things by which one is attached to material enjoyment, the attraction which happens due to material wealth, that is greater than the pride which is caused by the material wealth, that is greater than that caused by birth in a high family or beautiful body or because of high education. And then he says that when a person becomes puffed up because of possessing wealth, then such a person starts enjoying women, wine, and he indulges in gambling. So when a person possesses wealth, possessing wealth is not wrong because wealth can be utilized in the service of the Supreme Lord. But when a person becomes proud of one's wealth, then it causes bewilderment. So that is the first ill effect of wealth. And when a person becomes bewildered, then one actually develops the enjoying propensity, and then one actually starts enjoying women, wine, and he indulges in gambling. In fact, like one devotee was saying, like the word rupaya comes from the root word roop. But in the, if you see in the currency note, we see Gandhiji's photo. And he's not known for his beauty anyway. But still, like people are after wealth, because the attraction due to attraction of wealth is greater than attraction of one's beauty. So this is the second ill effect of wealth, that it causes enjoyment propensity. And then Narada Muni says that when a person becomes puffed up due to wealth, then he thinks that this temporary material body will not grow or will not die. And then he starts enjoying the material body in such a way that he starts killing the animals mercilessly for his own sense gratification. And sometimes a person goes for excursion just to kill the animals. Then he says, and when such a person starts killing mercilessly the animals, and when a person becomes puffed up because of wealth, then whether he is a demigod or a powerful minister or a president or a wealthy man, such a person, when he dies, he will simply become converted into a worm or an ash or a stool. So when a person dies, if he is not properly cremated, then his body will be eaten by worms, and they produce more worms. So his body will become worm. And when a person, if his body is not cremated, but sometimes if the body is eaten by some birds like vultures and jackals, and then his body gets converted into a stool of a vulture. Or if he is properly cremated, then his body becomes turned into ash. So in this way, Narada Muni is saying that when a person becomes falsely proud of his wealth, it results into bewilderment, then enjoyment propensity, and then he mercilessly kills the animals, and finally he actually gets into hellish condition. In fact, like this quality, that to see that how a person actually possesses a lot of wealth, but still a person is not proud of his wealth, is something very rare to be seen in this material world. So we will discuss this quality from the life of Prithu Maharaj, from the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and also various other qualities of Prithu Maharaj, which are actually very rarely found in the Srimad, which are very rarely found in this material world. So in the fourth canto, when Prithu Maharaj, who is considered as a Shaktyavesh incarnation of the Supreme Lord, when he was coronated as the king, the professional reciters, who are called as Sutas, Mahadas, they start glorifying Prithu Maharaj. In one of the verses, they say, Avyakta Vartmaisha Niguda Karyu. They say that no one can understand the policies of King Prithu. Avyakta Vartmesha. No one can understand what policies he makes. And Niguda Karyu. And the activities of Maharaj Prithu are so confidential that nobody can know what activities he performs. Gambira Veda Upagupta Vitta. And it will not be possible for anyone to understand how Prithu Maharaj will make all his activities, how he achieves success in all his activities. And then it is described, Upagupta Vitta. Upagupta Vitta means, no one can estimate the riches of Prithu Maharaj. No one could estimate how much wealth Prithu Maharaj had. Srila Prabhupada says that, just as, first of all he comments, like Prithu Maharaj was compared to Varuna. Varuna is the demigod in charge of ocean. So when a person sees the ocean from outside, he does not see living entities living within the ocean. But actually there are so many living entities living within the ocean. But from externally, he does not see that there are so many living entities within the ocean. So similarly, Prithu Maharaj was compared to the ocean, or the demigod in charge of ocean, Varuna, because no one could estimate that what policies he makes just by seeing him externally, and what activities he performs, because he kept all his policies very secret. And then it is described Upagupta Vitta. No one could estimate the riches of Prithu Maharaj. So Prithu Maharaj, whatever treasury he had, he kept very secretly. So why did he keep it secretly? He kept it secretly only for the purpose of engaging the wealth for good purposes and for practical activities, not for his selfish purposes. Srila Prabhupada says, in Kali Yuga, government does not keep its treasury in secret. So because the government does not keep its treasury secretly, in the times of crisis, the government artificially, it prints more and more currency notes, and it artificially inflates by printing more and more currency notes. And because of that, the prices of the commodity increase. So this is the result of keeping the treasury not secretly. So just as king has the right to keep his treasury secretly, the citizens also have the right to keep the treasury secretly. And this is a old practice, and there is no fault in such dealings. And then finally, Srila Prabhupada says, so the purpose of the whole activity of keeping the treasury secretly is to basically keep the money secretly so that they can engage the money for good purposes. So Prithu Maharaj, he had so much of wealth that no one could actually estimate his wealth because he kept everything secretly. But although he had so much of wealth, but when Prithu Maharaj met the four Kumaras, the great saintly personalities, it is described, Prithu Maharaj says to the four Kumaras, Prana Dara Sutha Brahman Grihascha Sa Parichada Rajyam Balam Mahikosha Iti Sarvam Niveditam. Prithu Maharaj said to the four Kumaras, I offer my life, my whole family, my house, and my all household paraphernalia, and I also offer my kingdom, my strength, and my treasury. So Prithu Maharaj, he was such a great wealthy king, but when he met the four Kumaras, he offers everything to the four Kumaras. So Srila Prabhupada makes an interesting purport. Prithu Maharaj uses the word Rajyam Balam Mahikosha. He says that I offer my kingdom, strength, and my treasury. So when he says that I offer my kingdom, it includes everything. It includes his treasury also. But why does he separately mention that I also offer my treasury? Because the kings would keep some private treasury which is called a Ratna Bond, which would contain very precious jewels and necklaces and precious ornaments. So Prithu Maharaj was not only offering his kingdom, he was offering even his private treasury, which he would keep for his emergency purposes. So Prithu Maharaj may be little conservative in keeping his money secretly. It may appear conservative, but when he was giving charity to the four Kumaras, he was so liberal that he offered everything, including his personal treasury, which is something, this quality is something very rare in this material world. And we see so many wonderful qualities which are in the personality of Prithu Maharaj, which are very rarely found. In another place it is described, about the power of Prithu Maharaj. It is described that Prithu Maharaj was so strong and powerful that no one could disobey his order. Just like when there is fire, suppose when there is fire, automatically there will be heat and light. When there is fire, no one could stop the emanation of heat and light from fire. No one can stop. Fire. When there is fire, automatically there will be heat and light. No one can stop heat and light. Just like it is so difficult to stop heat and light which emanates from fire, similarly, no one could disobey the orders of Prithu Maharaj. He was so strong and powerful. And it is described, Prithu Maharaj was powerful like Indra. So Srila Prabhupada says, the modern nuclear weapons, they are like insignificant compared to the thunderbolt of Indra. Indra's thunderbolt can actually can make even the big mountains into powder, small pieces. Indra was so powerful, Prithu Maharaj was as powerful as Indra. But although Prithu Maharaj was so powerful, normally when you see a person who is so powerful, and when you see a person whose orders everyone obeys, that no one disobeys the orders of such a person, you would see that such a person, when suppose somebody disobeys the order of such a person, he will become immediately intolerant. But Prithu Maharaj, although he was so powerful that no one could disobey his orders, in the same verse it is described that Prithu Maharaj was as tolerant as Mother Earth. And he was so liberal in fulfilling the citizens of desires of his citizens. So Prithu Maharaj was as tolerant as Mother Earth. So Mother Earth is so tolerant that although the living entities perform so many activities, they actually dig up Mother Earth in trying to excavate so much of oil, and they living entities perform so many killing of animals, they make slaughterhouses. It's all actually intolerant to Mother Earth. But then Mother Earth patiently tolerates everything. So Prithu Maharaj, not only was so powerful, he was also as tolerant as Mother Earth. So Srila Prabhupada says, Prithu Maharaj was softer than a rose and harder than the thunderbolt. So this quality is something very rare. And another place, it is explained about Prithu Maharaj, it is said, Tatrap adampya niyamo vaikanasa susammate arabdha ugra tapasi yataswa vijayapura. It is described that Prithu Maharaj, that after he performed his duties as a king, he retired from his kingly duties and he actually entered the Vanaprastha ashram. And then he engaged in severe austerities. And he engaged in severe austerities. He performed austerities as seriously as he was leading the government and he was conquering everyone. Something very interesting. Prithu Maharaj, when he was a king, he conquered so many kingdoms and he was leading the government. But with the same seriousness, he performed the austerities when he actually retired from his householder life. So usually, when we see even our own life, when we are used to some particular facilities and particular comforts, when suddenly we lose those comforts, usually we actually become disturbed. We can see either by staying in the temple or outside, we can see for ourselves. But Prithu Maharaj was so great that he engaged in austerities as seriously as he was leading the government and he was conquering everyone. So that means he was not affected by the circumstances. He was completely on the transcendental platform. And another quality of Prithu Maharaj, which is also very rarely seen in this material world. It's a very wonderful verse which is described in the fourth canto. It is described, Brihaspatim Brahmavade Atma Tatve Swayam Hari Bhaktya Goguru Vipreshu Vishvaksena Anuvartishu. So Maitreya Rishi describes about the knowledge of Prithu Maharaj. Brihaspatim Brahmavade. Prithu Maharaj, he was equal to Brihaspati as far as his spiritual knowledge is concerned. Brihaspati is the demigod of the heavenly planets. Brihaspati is the spiritual master of the demigods. So Brihaspati was so great in his spiritual knowledge that Prithu Maharaj was equal to Brihaspati in his spiritual knowledge. Brihaspatim Brahmavade. But in the same verse it is described, Bhaktya Goguru Vipreshu Vishvaksena Anuvartishu. But as far as his devotional service is concerned, he was a follower of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. So usually, when a person is having knowledge, it is difficult to find submission in the person. It is said, scholarship and submission go ill together. In fact, we see that principle not only in the spiritual field, even in the material field. Like, we see that, I'm just giving an example. Like, even if suppose somebody is a big doctor, it is said that one of the worst patient for a doctor is another doctor. It may not be true in all the cases, but sometimes it could be true. Because when a person is having lot of knowledge, it is difficult to put faith in another doctor. You may think, oh, I have a lot of knowledge, oh, let me treat myself. So, when a person has knowledge, when a person possesses knowledge, it is very rare. Because ultimately it comes from the Supreme Lord. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that wherever you see great opulence, power, etc., you must know that it actually comes from me. It is a fragment of my own potency. So when a person possesses knowledge, it is something very rare. But even more rare is a person actually has submissiveness to the great devotees. But even more rare is a person has knowledge and also submissiveness. So that is something very rare. But Prithu Maharaj, it is described, he was equal to Brihaspati in his spiritual knowledge, but at the same time, he was a follower of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Vishvaksena Anuvartishu. So this is the greatness of Prithu Maharaj. And another quality which is explained by Maitreya Rishi is, Atma Tatve Swayam Hari. As in regards to his self-control of Prithu Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj was equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari. So in the Rajasya sacrifice, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was performing the Rajasya sacrifice, as part of the sacrifice, they had to elect the chief personality of the whole sacrifice and everyone would offer respect to the chief personality. So at that time, Bhishma Dev, he elected the chief personality of the whole Rajasya sacrifice. So he said, he elected Lord Krishna as the chief personality. And Bhishma Dev said, Lord Krishna is the topmost brahmachari, topmost celibate brahmachari. So now I wonder, Lord Krishna had 16,108 wives and he performed Ras Leela of the gopis. But then Bhishma Dev elected Lord Krishna as the topmost brahmachari. So there Srila Prabhupada says that because Bhishma Dev is the greatest brahmachari, he could recognize that Krishna is the greatest brahmachari. So who is electing Krishna as the greatest brahmachari? Bhishma Dev. One who is pure can recognize another's purity. So Bhishma Dev was such a great brahmachari and he could elect Krishna as the greatest brahmachari, so everyone accepted that. So Krishna is so self-controlled. And here it is compared that Prithu Maharaj in his self-control, he was equal to Lord Krishna. But actually Prithu Maharaj had wife and five children. But although he had a wife and five children, but he was actually equal to Lord Krishna in his self-control. It is something very rare we can see. And another quality which is explained by Maitreya Rishi is Hriya Prashraya Shilabhyam Atma Tulya Parodhyame. It is described that Prithu Maharaj, he was perfect in his shyness and his gentle behavior. He was so perfect in his shyness and gentle behavior, but when he was performing his, when he would perform philanthropic activities, he worked as if he were working for his personal self. So he was so gentle and shy in his personal behavior, but when he was performing, doing welfare activities for others, he would work as if he was working for his own self. So Srila Prabhupada says, in other words, his philanthropic activities were not performed, were not performed for the sake of show, but they were performed with personal feeling and great commitment. So this is a great quality of Prithu Maharaj. So especially this particular quality, that Prithu Maharaj, how he possessed knowledge equal to Brihaspati, at the same time he was submissive to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. So this particular quality is also described by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary, in a verse in the first canto. When Narada Muni says to Vyasadev, says, Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo, yasmin pratishlokam abaddhavatyapi, namani anantasya yashonkitaniya, shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhava. Narada Muni saying to Vyasadev, those words which glorify the Supreme Person, which glorify the name, quality and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which are completely of a different creation, namani anantase eshonkitani jat shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhav. Those which glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are completely of a different creation, and those words, they have a power to create a revolution in the world's misdirected civilization, in the impious lies of the world's misdirected civilization. And then he says, and those words which glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are heard, chanted and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhava. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, when he writes a comment, it's very inspiring. Personally, it was very inspiring to me. He was saying that he basically talks two points. So there are so many philosophies in this world, but the test of a greatest philosophy is a person takes shelter of that philosophy not only while speaking, but he also is attracted to the philosophy in hearing. Like in the Journey Home book, when his holiness Radhanath Maharaj, when he went to that yoga conference, in one particular conference he hears from a speaker. So that particular speaker is a very well-known philosopher in India and also in the world. His philosophy is that you do not need a guru. Nobody needs a guru in this world. You are your own guru. There is no need to listen from somebody. So that was his philosophy. But the same philosopher, once he was going in a plane, he was actually reading a book written by some other philosopher. So when somebody asked him, you said that your philosophy is that you do not need a guru. But why are you reading the book written by this, why are you reading the philosophy of this particular philosopher? He said, I was a little bored, so I wanted to read this book. So that means that philosophy which he was preaching is not the highest philosophy. If the philosophy one is preaching, if it is highest, the test of highest philosophy is one takes shelter of that philosophy not only in speaking, but while in hearing also. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says in this particular purport, he says that if a speaker, the purified men who are thoroughly harnessed, how they are attached to the glories of the Supreme Lord. They are attached to the Supreme Lord in this way. If a speaker is present, they hear the glories of the Lord. If the audience is present, they speak the glories of the Lord. If neither the speaker nor the audience is present, they spontaneously sing the glories of the Lord. So if something is the highest philosophy, the test of a highest philosophy is that philosophy should create attraction in a person, not only in speaking, but also in hearing, and also in his free time, when neither the speaker nor the audience is present. And test of a person who has highest attachment to Krishna consciousness is, or test of a person who has got highest attachment to this highest philosophy is that when the speaker is present, he hears that philosophy, he hears the glories of the Lord. And if the speaker is not present, the audience is present, he speaks the glories of the Lord. And when neither the speaker nor the audience is present, he spontaneously sings the glories of the Lord. In fact, we see this particular quality manifested in the life of Srila Prabhupada. Although I'm just speaking personally, I neither have attraction for speaking nor for hearing. I'm just speaking for my own purification. But we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada that he had so much of attachment for hearing from his spiritual master. When Srila Prabhupada was in Mathura, so once all the devotees went to take darshan of one particular deity in Mathura, but then Srila Prabhupada chose to hear from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So later on when Srila Prabhupada was going to get initiated from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that I know him because he is very much attached to hearing. And later when Srila Prabhupada became a world acharya, he was so attached to preaching Krishna consciousness, and many times he would go from one country to another country, there would be severe jet lag, but then he would immediately start speaking Krishna consciousness to others. Once when he was in Russia, Prabhupada wanted to go to Russia, when some devotees said, now it is summer season, better you stay in India, because there is, you will get lot of mangoes. Prabhupada said, preaching Krishna consciousness is sweeter than the sweetest mango. So he was attached to preaching Krishna consciousness. When he was in Australia or New Zealand, once a Christian priest came to meet Srila Prabhupada. So after some time, after speaking with Srila Prabhupada, he left the assembly. He left the Prabhupada's room. He was about to leave. Prabhupada said, why are you leaving? So I can speak for a whole day about Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada was attached to hearing, and also he was attached to speaking. And when neither the speaker nor the hearer was present, Prabhupada would have his devotees read his Krishna book, and he would hear from his own Krishna book. In fact, many of these bhajans sung by Srila Prabhupada, they were not like planned recordings that they made a plan. Okay, today Prabhupada would sing this bhajan, he would record. So sometimes Prabhupada would spontaneously decide to sing a bhajan, and the devotees would come to record these bhajans. So Prabhupada was, in his example, he showed highest attachment to Krishna in the form of attachment to hearing, speaking, and also spontaneously singing when neither the speaker or the hearer is present. And we see this particular quality in the example of Prithu Maharaj. I'll just stop with this thing. We see this, that if you see in the fourth canto, it's actually very interesting that the fourth canto, 21st chapter, it is entitled Instructions by Maharaj Prithu. The next chapter is entitled Prithu Maharaj Meeting the Four Kumaras. So the 21st chapter, Putu Maharaj is actually giving instructions to his citizens. And next chapter, he actually takes instructions from the four Kumaras. If you see, the attitude of Putu Maharaj in both these things, it's something very amazing. So when Putu Maharaj was giving instructions to the citizens, it is described, he first begins, I'll just read this particular verse, he says, O gentle members of the assembly, may all good fortune be upon you. May all of you great souls who have come to attend this meeting, kindly hear my prayer attentively. A person who is actually inquisitive must present his decision before an assembly of noble souls. So when he was actually instructing his citizens, he is actually presenting in a very humble manner. He is saying, actually Prithu Maharaj is the emperor of the whole world. He could have just given orders to all the citizens in the assembly and all the sages there, present there. But then he was speaking as if he is actually a conditioned soul. So Srila Prabhupada says, although Prithu Maharaj was everyone within this material world is conditioned by the modes of material nature. So when a person is conditioned by the modes of material nature, one should, before making a particular decision, he should consult the superiors who are more advanced. But although Prithu Maharaj was not at all conditioned by the modes of material nature, but he was presenting his decision as if he is a conditioned soul. He wants to take permission of all the great sages present there. He could have just given order, but then he was presenting as if he is a conditioned soul in great humility. But then when Prithu Maharaj, in the same assembly, after he instructs the citizens, then in the same assembly, suddenly the four Kumaras arrive. So when the four Kumaras arrive, how does actually Prithu Maharaj receive the four Kumaras? It is described, as soon as the four Kumaras arrive, Prithu Maharaj, seeing the four Kumaras, Prithu Maharaj was greatly anxious to receive them. Therefore, the king, with all his officers, very hastily got up, as anxiously as a conditioned soul whose senses are immediately attracted by the modes of material nature. So in this particular verse, Prithu Maharaj is compared to a conditioned soul. A conditioned soul who is actually conditioned by the modes of material nature, when he sees the sense objects, he would be immediately attracted to the sense objects. Just like a conditioned soul is very anxious to enjoy the sense objects, very much attracted by the sense objects, similarly, Prithu Maharaj is very anxious to receive the four Kumaras and hear from the four Kumaras. So when Prithu Maharaj was instructing the citizens, that time also he acted as a conditioned soul. He was taking permission from the sages. And when he was actually receiving the four Kumaras, that time also he acted just like a conditioned soul who has attraction to the sense objects. Similarly, he also has same attraction to hear from the four Kumaras. In fact, if you see both the chapters, the essence of the instructions imparted by Prithu Maharaj to the four Kumaras is devotional service. It says, Yat Pada Seva Abhiruchis Tapasvinam. In the particular verse, Prithu Maharaj says that when a person renders devotional service to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, he becomes completely cleansed of all the sins. If we see the instructions which he received from the four Kumaras, the essence of those instructions is also devotional service. Yat Pada Pankaja Palasha Vilasa Driptya. So, but although he was actually gave the same instruction before, but he exhibited more eagerness to hear from the four Kumaras, the same subject under which he spoke previously. So this is something very unique in the character of Prithu Maharaj. So in this way we see that usually in this material world, power and pride are seen, but in the character of Prithu Maharaj, he had so much of wealth, but he was so liberal in giving charity that he offered everything to the four Kumaras. And we also see some other qualities, how Prithu Maharaj was so powerful, but at the same time he was so tolerant. And we saw that how Prithu Maharaj was so learned, but at the same time he was so submissive to the devotees. And how he was a man with 5 children, but still he was so self-controlled. And how although he was gentle and shy, but he was so liberal in performing philanthropic activity. So I stop here. I'm sorry that if I have spoken in an instructive tone, actually, or whatever I have spoken is beyond my realization, but just for my purification I spoke. If anybody has any comments, just stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.